welcome to the show, Ox Hardy, Andrew Hardy.
Good morning, Simon. How are you?
Going well, mate. Thank you. It's a great honour to be chatting with a fifth-generation winemaker. It's, you know, it's common, but not really.
No, I suppose it's true. There's not that many of us around, I suppose. But, and happily, my son, Henry, is just who's sixth generation, obviously, has just come to work for me in the business. So that's he's been 10 years away in Melbourne and in London, and he's just started. So another Hardy, which is nice.
Fantastic. So what would he be, around 30 or so?
He's 36. No, that's a good question. He's 37.
Yeah, right. Great.
37.
So he's come home.
He's come home. He and his wife had a baby in London, and he's been working for Matthew Jukes, who's one of the preeminent wine writers in the world. You know him, and he's been working for him for 5 years over there. And they decided when they had the baby, it was time to head home. So all the grannies are very very happy about that.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
But that's great. I keep bumping into your wine, your bottles of wine, so your brand, and it's partly because it's so distinctive. It's awesome. You can see it in a fridge at any, like no matter how big that fridge is.
Yeah, well, that was one of the nice things of designing a new label. And my wife helped design it. She didn't do it all. We had a young graphic guy who's really great that drew it up in the end. But yeah, look, the pink thing was Pink Ox Hardy is Georgina, my wife, dresses me in quite a lot of pink shirts, so that's where the pink came from.
Yeah.
And Ox is my nickname from school when I was given when I was 78 years old, so I've had that name for my whole life. The only people that don't call me Ox are my mother and my wife, actually. So all my grandchildren call me Ox. So yeah, look, I wanted the labels to be contemporary and stand out, but you know, I didn't want to do the sort of normal, yeah, black and white or whatever. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, it's stunning, and the wines are beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm having great fun making them. It's you know, they're wines that are made to be drunk, and but they age beautifully as well. So it's good fun.
And how has how's the vintage been for you personally?
We had an absolutely wonderful year. 2024 is one of the greats, actually. The McLaren Vale was fantastic, which is where most of my wines come from. I've got one wine, the Chardonnay, that comes from the Adelaide Hills, but McLaren Vale was superb. And generally, South Australia had a fantastic vintage. Everybody I talk to, you know, from all regions, is saying, "Wow, what a year!" So that's great. You know, amidst all the doom and gloom of the way the industry's travelling, it's really nice to have a great vintage.
Yeah, and look, you can add the Bellarine to that, because we just spoke with Will Derham. He's got Banks Road Vineyard down there, and he said same. They've had 4 years of maybe, you know, 30% down, and just to have a good yield and good quality and all that sort of thing. So that's great for all of us, right?
I'd say we've had, you know, 21, 22, 23, 24 have been great vintages in South Australia. We weren't up on volume, so our volume was modest, but that's all right. I'd rather have a smaller volume of, you know, super quality. So, but I know the Adelaide Hills, which is, you know, a very cold region, that had the crops in the hills were just dreadful this year, but beautiful quality, but just no quantity. Mm. We had very bad weather at flowering. November and December, it just dragged on. It was cold and windy and raining and horrible. And so, you know, we just didn't get flowering, didn't get set.
Yeah. And that's nature, isn't it? Hey,
that's nature. That's
farming agriculture. Aspect of winemaking.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're obviously making that. Are you making wine for the usual suspects group still?
Yep. So it's when I left Petaluma after 36 years, I went in with the usual suspects, and that's, Vickery is one of our brands, Parker Estate at Coonawarra, Hesketh, there's about six different brands. And, yeah, I oversee that. I mean, obviously, the Ox brand is mine, and, you know, is what I love them all, but I'm, you know, particularly fond of Ox.
Partial of you, yeah, and that's fair enough. Absolutely. It's got your name on it.
So, we take grapes from, you know, Clare, Eden Valley, McLaren Vale, Coonawarra, Adelaide Hills, so that, you know, I can speak from all those regions saying how wonderful it was. So it's very pleasing.
Which is quite unique, actually, isn't it? To be able to do. I noticed that John Vickery's daughter, is it, is now a winemaker?
No, it's Keita Zoom is her name, and she's...
I know Keita is different. I'd seen someone, Vickery, as a winemaker. I don't know where I saw
Not that I know of.
No, okay.
No, only John. Mary's his widow. She's still alive.
No, and I've made that up or I've seen it somewhere else. So ignore that then, sorry. But, yeah, John, gee, hasn't he got a place in
in
history?
When you think about the wines he made and how brilliant he was at making them, and across regions as well, you know, he was Eden Valley, Clare, and then that, one of the big companies sent him down to Coonawarra, where he won the Jimmy Watson in, I think, 81, won the Jimmy Watson down there, or 8, might have been 80, but it's around there. So, you know, sort of he stretched across. But he was one of those winemakers that, I mean, he was fastidious, and he only died last year at 90. Mm. And he was a fearsome bloke to work for, because he was such a perfectionist. He couldn't, he was an absolute perfectionist and a really good. I mean, we started the brand in 2014, so we had sort of 7 or 8 really good years with him. He got dementia in the end, so that got him. But he was great fun to work for, great fun to taste with, and walk in the vineyard and all that stuff. It was really good.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful wine, and Keita's doing a great job keeping it along the line. And she had some good time with him as well, didn't she?
She did.
Up, you know, his philosophies and continue them.
Yeah, and I think that was really important, that we kept his philosophy on winemaking going. And it's, you know, I mean, we're all winemakers are all different in some ways, so we're not trying to copy what he did, but we're certainly adhering to his
principle,
the way he wanted wines made. And, you know, down to he came to look at the vineyards when we, you know, any grower that we might have signed up, he'd come look at it and give his tick of approval or otherwise
or not. Yeah, and that's important, isn't it?
yeah, it was very, very important.
Because there are some people who really do know. Aren't there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because they talk about, and he's passed now, but Peter Brown. So he set up All Saints, and but Peter apparently was one of the gurus to be able to find a site and put the right thing on that site.
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, when you it is all about site selection, and when you think, you know, you just don't go and plonk a vineyard anywhere. You really have to be pretty pernickety about it, make sure that you are going to the right area. You know, site selection is terribly important. It's not just about finding a bit of land that looks all right and banking it on. You've got to be, it's much more scientific than that.
Yeah, and probably even more so these days, wouldn't you say? I mean, because we can.
Because we can, exactly. We've got access to the information, and, you know, you can do all the soil tests you want, all that sort of stuff. So it sort of, it works quite well.
Mm. Yeah, it's and then look, a lot of the wineries and are looking at the vineyards and doing, you know, soil profile testing, number one, which lots of people do, but some are pulling that, you know, that, I suppose, cylinder of dirt and heroing it in the cellar door and going, well, this is what it looks like underneath where we're standing. I mean, that's really cool.
It's quite fun, isn't it? It's fun as well, because it really does show you what's going on. And you know, whenever we planted, if we've been lucky enough to plant new vineyards, which I've done a little bit, you know, you do the soil testing in the pits, and it's pretty spectacular looking at the different pits. So, so I think that's all part of it. I mean, that's, you know, when you think about winemaking and how we all do it, they're the really fun bits of what we do.
And even used to do in McLaren Vale. It was a scarce earth project, I think. It was basically a comparison of the same, of maybe Shiraz, I think, across all the different soil profiles in McLaren Vale. And they're really there's quite a number of varied kind of soil profiles, isn't there?
Well, even in my vineyard, the Upper Tintara Vineyard, which my great-great-grandfather bought, in 1871, its first planted in 1861, there's probably 40 to 45 different soil types in that vineyard. So people say to me, what soil type have you got at Upperton Tower? And I say, well, depends which block you're in, and it depends which part of which block you're in. McLaren Vale has the most, I think it's still the most diverse soil type of any wine region in the world. It's because, we're ancient anyway in Australia, and this is just so, so different. It's incredible.
Mm. And you can obviously see the difference in those wines, and in the same varietal made the same way, right?
Well, the Scarce Earth Project and the regional program is they do the tastings every year where the McLaren Vale winemakers ask all the wineries for samples that come from single blocks, single vineyards, and then they're grouped blind in a tasting. So it's all Shiraz, so it's all done with Shiraz. They're grouped in tastings, and it's amazing when you go and do the tasting once the committee sort of group them, how they actually sit together, and you can really see these differences in it. It's not that big a region, so to think that you've got such diversity in a relatively small region is pretty wicked.
Yeah. Do you reckon that the people who've planted the first vines had any idea of that?
I suppose when they went down there, and you think about all those years ago, I've read books that Thomas Hardy, my great-great-grandfather, wrote about site selection back then, and then the father of viticulture in South Australia was really Dr. Kelly, Dr. Alexander Kelly, and he wrote some incredible books on site selection way back then. So they were looking for water. Number one, you needed water, and in those days, the vineyards were all dry ground, so you needed relatively reliable rainfall. So obviously rainfall made a difference. And then, they did soil. They did test soil back then. I mean, they, obviously, maybe not as scientifically as we can do it now, but they were, ahead of their time, really.
Mm. Well, and obviously knew the importance of it.
And they knew the importance of it, yeah.
Yeah. We were chatting earlier about the Canberra region, and Fergus McGee, who's at Mount Madura, he was talking about the industry up there and how that's grown. He said there was a real shift when Hardy's and a couple of the other big guys came up there, and the legacy of that is still shown, and a lot of the great winemakers from that era have stayed in the region.
Yeah, it's great, I think, and again that was. The big expansion that our industry, that the wine game did in, the 90s, was all, by then everybody worked out, Yarra was pretty full, Mornington was tough to get into because it's so expensive, land was so expensive even back then, Tasmania started to open up, the Adelaide Hills had opened up, people were looking for, with climate change we always sort of talk about the fact that you've either got to go south in this hemisphere, you've either got to go south, well, you've got to go altitude. So obviously regions like Orange have got the altitude thing down pat. You think about Coonawarra, which is the original cool climate region because it's so influenced by the Southern Ocean, that great big refrigerator off, with the Bonnie upswelling and the... Canberra being cold, yes, it's dry, but they've got elevation as well where you go up to Mount Madura and Nick O'Leary then you think about places like Tumbarumma in the Alps. It is all about saying, well, what's sustainable? Where can we go that is sustainable? That's going to grow the sort of grapes we need.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, we've had a question. For you, Christopher, one of our listeners has sent in. He's got a 2010 Oxhardy Ancestor Shiraz, and he's asking. It's now 2024. What does he do with it? How long will it last, and should it last, or whatever?
2010 was absolutely wonderful vintage, and the ancestor vine Shiraz. I released that wine in 2020, so it's only been. I'm releasing them at 9 or 10 years old. 2010 is probably almost my favourite vintage. I think that we've made. That's probably got if it's well stored. Obviously it's screw cap, so don't have to worry about the cork. But if it's well stored. That's got 20 years plus in it still. So, at 40 years old, that'll be looking beautiful.
Well, so I'm hoping
he can sell it with confidence if he's got a halfway decent cool place to keep it in.
Yeah, because you've done 10 years of the job, and now he's got to do the rest. Well, Christopher, hopefully you got more than one, so you can try one now and then in 10 year intervals if you got enough. Well, that's fantastic, mate. So tell us briefly, we've got a couple of minutes to just find out. You said you might be out with your vintage car.
I'm with a group called the Sparrows Fart Run, which has been going. My father took me on it first back in the mid-70s. So it's a club that just have interesting cars, and we meet about six times a year. Well, I'm around more than that, eight times a year, early in the morning up here in the Adelaide Hills, and go for a bit of a drive, a legal drive. We're not speeding.
Yep.
We try not to have any crashes, but all interesting cars. I've got a 1954 Austin Healey 104, which is I've used today, which has been a bit of fun. Freezing cold. It was a freezing morning up here this morning. So it was good fun, and we're at a very lovely new kitchen farm pantry at Mount Barker, having breakfast at the moment. They're very nice.
Excellent.
And a really, really lovely range of cars. Most of them today actually are modern, but as my car's 1954. I think mine's probably the oldest. Just looking over, yeah, mine's the oldest here today. So,
how many people joined today?
There's probably 30 of us here at the moment.
Uh-huh. So you just sort of drive in convoy, roughly, or?
Yeah, we whoever the master of the day is, or the track setter, if you like.
Yeah.
He dictates a sheet, and you get a run sheet, and you can go as quickly or as slowly as you want, and then have a wee stop because we're all getting older.
Yeah.
halfway through, and then we arrive somewhere for breakfast and a bit of a chat, so which is what's happening at the moment.
And do you, after your breakfast and your little drive, do you get to stop off at? There's a really cool pub which I know you would know, the Stony Bridge Hotel.
The Stanley Bridge Hotel at Verdun. Yeah, that's I actually had lunch there yesterday, believe it or not. That's a great pub, and yeah. it was one of those superb like it is today, clear, beautiful skies. I mean, we need the rain. Don't get me wrong. It's terribly, terribly dry, but it's a great pub.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, mate, that's a bit of fun. I love the name of it too. So
yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It is really good. Well, mate, thank you. It's been fun having a chat again, and there's a sent you a message and said it's been too long, so let's not leave it so long. And
anytime.
And so if people, just before we go, we'll just let everyone know how they can find you and your wine. So you are Ox Hardy.
If they Google Ox Hardy, it should come up on the website.
Easily.
Yep, yep.
Otherwise, the Usual Suspects Collective is...
There's a website for that as well, which has all the different brands on it.
Yeah, and so there's some great brands, and we'd see them, you know, in bottle shops and on restaurant lists all over town. So
that's good.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for chatting, and look good forward to having a glass and checking out one of your cars, sometime soon.
Yeah, okay, Simon. Thanks very much.
See you.
Okay.
See you, Ox. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.